and the students and those that are in our schools every day. Even in the summer, I've been praying for them as they have to set schedules, and especially with Emma's going into sixth grade, now it's not just a teacher, it's seven teachers, and all of this stuff as they pull all this stuff together to get the right grouping and the right teacher. So we're going to pray a blessing over them. I'm going to invite you to stretch your hand out toward them as we pray. Lord, we come to you and we give you acknowledgement today. We understand that you are the God, and you are a God of blessings, and that you can inhabit the prayers of your people, and that we lift the school year before you that's coming up now. We pray for these students. We ask you that you would open your mind so that they could learn, that you would grant them the ability to grasp some of the ideas that may be put out to them in order to learn and grow deeper and mature, not only in education, but in you and in the spiritual ways also. Give them the desire to behave correctly and to have the right attitudes. We pray for our parents and those that are supporting these, whether it be a parent, a guardian, or a grandparent, or just a friend. May they encourage and help these students to do the best that they can do. We pray for our teachers. Pray that they would motivate, challenge, as well as educate our students. Pray that they would give them ways to deal with some of the things that may be happening in the room. We pray that bullies would be seen and corrected very quickly. Pray that there would be none of the things that we read about in the news that we're afraid of each and every day happening here in Polk County, that you would allow teachers, administrators, or deputies to find out before anything can happen that hurts anyone. Pray for our administration of our schools. May they have the proper methods in place, and may they have practiced the things they need to practice, and may they justly may they jest in how they administer to the rules that they have. Pray for our school board as it sets the many policies that we set. Pray for the support staff. Thank you for them, Lord. For teachers are great, but yet they need clean rooms. They need assistance. They need office help. They need people that are walking around the schools just keeping things safe. Pray for all the support staff, asking you to help them do their jobs well. For our bus drivers, give them safe driving techniques, allow them to be alert as they're on the road. May the students not be acting up too much to prevent them from seeing safety hazards. And Lord, we just ask you to give us a safe year this year. For deputies and for the guardians, crossing guards that see to the safety of our students, we just pray that you would keep their eyes open too. Now we just give you the glory, knowing this is going to be a great school year, 2019-2020. Because of your grace, we ask in your name. Amen. Papa, we have a problem here. We have a knot in our shoestring. Yeah, okay. Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you, girls. Papa's got to see if he can undo a knot there. Okay, if you have a prayer card, if you would like to take one of the prayer cards in the pews in front of you, fill those out. We'll pick those up in just a moment. But before we do that, does anyone have a praise they'd like to share with us? Ooh, I do. That wasn't quite as loud as Penny.
Oh, you, well. Okay, woo, I do. I sent a short note to my son-in-law who has his broken back. And said I was just thinking about him and hope he was doing well. I sent him a picture of a dinosaur that has really short front arms. And it says, I love you this much. And the arms kept growing. He told me he walked 142 steps this week. Praise the Lord.
All right. Thank you, Lord. More to come. Ms. Linda.
I almost don't know where to start. This has been such a great week. First of all, the premature baby that I've asked you to pray for is home from the hospital and weighs 6 pounds.
Thank you, Lord.
Secondly, my daughter was on a six-week trip across the country in an RV with two ladies, two cats, and a big dog, and they made it to Washington State and got back this week with an extra cat they picked up along the way. And last but certainly not least, our son-in-law had an operation near his heart to put in a loop recorder, and he came out very well and is home and recuperating and probably going back to work Monday.
All right, thank you. Rick McClellan.
Last week I made an announcement. About 9 weeks from now, if it happens again this year, we had a cold snap and a lot of people needed blankets. And I said, we would love to get blankets, but we couldn't accept king size ones. And a lady came up to me after church that the Lord sent, named Sue, and said, accept king size ones because I can make them into smaller ones and put binding on them. So Sue was a real blessing. And then there was another lady named Sue this morning, brought our first blanket donation. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. This is for Hope House, correct?
Hope House, yeah.
Grace.
Hannah got her cast off.
I'm sorry?
Hannah got her cast off.
Oh, Hannah got her. Okay. Yeah, her cast is off, so she doesn't have to go to school and get all the kids to sign it.
She's going to school.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Any other praises? Sue.
I have a praise. I had an endoscopy on my throat. Early. I was the first one in Friday morning. The good news is there's no damage to my esophagus or my stomach from acid reflux, none whatsoever. But they seem to think my raspiness and my tickle from my throat is caused from my vocal cords. So now I've got to go see the ENT for my vocal cords. And I've got Lake Gibson signed up for online banking. Thank you.
Hallelujah. I thought raspiness in the voice was supposed to be an extra seller for the singers.
Well, I'm like Linda. I have been blessed this week. It has been a wonderful week. Eric has had, his sister lives at Carpenter's, and two of her children with their spouses came in this week to help celebrate her 90th birthday, which isn't till November, but they can't come then, so we had it now, because they were able to come now. So, but all week they've rented a home over in Winter Haven, and we've been going back and forth and just had a wonderful week with them, and so glad, and pray for safe travels for them today. The other thing is, Friday night, Eric and I went and spent the evening with my niece, Kim, who has the two girls, one's Alyssa and one's Megan. Alyssa's the one who teaches in Spain, and I haven't seen them since she's been home, and I haven't seen Megan since she's been home either from college. But blessed to have been with them Friday night, just us with them. And it was a wonderful evening. And safe travels for Megan and today because she's going back to college.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Ellen.
Well, last Sunday morning, I asked Pastor Steve to say prayers for my niece because she had just had minor surgery, but for some reason was in pain, just very bad pain. And she has fibromyalgia, but it had kind of eased up from medication, and she was terrified that this medicine suddenly wasn't helping, and whether it was from the surgery, she didn't know. But she couldn't even get up to go to the bathroom by herself. So after the prayers, the next day, I called her and asked her how she was doing, and she said, Aunt Ellen, she said, actually, I don't know what happened, but it just went away. So I'm thinking the prayers and grateful for all of the prayers. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank Him. You know what the Scripture says? The Scripture says, if any among you are sick, let them call the elders, but they bring it. Pray for them, anoint them with oil also. It says, the prayer offered in faith heals them. Not the person. God does it. But we open the doors by asking Him to work and touch. Any other praises? Have two prayer requests. One is for the Henderson family. Their daughter-in-law is in the hospital fighting for her life. The other is for Bob Griffin, who has kidney failure in the hospital. To my knowledge, I don't think we have anyone in the hospital at this time that I'm aware of. Asked to pray for Tom Twigg's family also. Tom passed away Tuesday morning. So I want to pray for those. Continue to pray for our schools and the things that will be going on there, and pray for our nation as we're in the midst of all the stuff that's going on. So let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we come to you this day, and let us just start by saying thank you, Lord. Let us just quiet our inward angst that's among us. Let us just take a deep breath, center on you, and say thank you, Lord. Thank you for being the God that you are. Thank you for loving us no matter what's going on in our life. Thank you for always being there. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, which ran down a cross on Calvary. And thank you for the faith that you have given me and the spirit that lives inside of me. We can never thank you enough. And Lord, may that faith that we have and that thankfulness that we have be seen by others as we live out our daily life. As we come to you, there are many things that are on our mind. There are many requests. We know that there are people in our world and people maybe even within this church that are wondering how they're going to make it this week. I mean, with school starting and the expense of everything, some parents are stretched beyond breaking. May you provide ways for them and means for them, and may you have someone step into their life that may help them even this day and give them some peace of mind. Those that have lost loved ones, and we have two on these cards, Lord, we lift them before you. We ask that you would be with their families this day, that you would touch them. For this one who has a daughter-in-law in the hospital fighting for her life, and I know nothing about it, but you do. I pray for them even now, and I just pray that your will be done there and that you would be guiding and directing those that are attending to her in the medical profession. Lord, just give them wisdom that goes beyond anything they may have been trained with. And may your name have the glory there. May you be with that family in a special way. As we come, there are many other requests on our mind. Lord, I think of the world that we live in. I think as we began church last Sunday, and it had happened during the night, but there had been several shootings around the world, and particularly in the United States, and somewhere near 30 people had been killed overnight. We pray for those. We pray for those individuals that think they have to do something like that, and just pray that you would calm them even now, and that these things would, Lord, may somebody find out, may they not happen in this world. Lord, there are many other things going on. Our nation's divided. Our churches are divided. Bring us together in Jesus Christ. Open our ears to hear what you have to say this day. Let us take it out and apply it in such a way that people see your love living in us, your ambassadors to this world. We ask in the matchless name of Christ who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In light of the news that's been on this week and all of the many things that we've seen, the tragedies that has happened, have you ever wondered, how is a Christian supposed to live in the world today? How are you supposed to navigate this society when you're afraid to even go in Walmart and shop. And I don't like to go to Walmart. That's just another reason for me not to go. But, you know, you don't even go shopping in Walmart. You don't want to go to a shopping center. Things happen. You don't want to go out to dinner. You don't know what's going to happen. Let's be honest. You can't go to a concert. You can't go to an arena. We've seen these tragedies happen in all of these venues. We don't even want to send our kids or grandkids to school because things happen there too. How do you live in a world like that? Do we cower? Hide behind closed doors? Do we live in a complete police state where cameras are on you all the time and you stay in a line and you don't get out of the line? Do we move to a deserted island, middle of the Everglades, somewhere like that where you don't have to deal with people? Or do you just stick your hand in the sand and ignore it? What do you do? How do you live? Maybe the question's not how do we live, although we'll get there. Maybe the real question is more like this. In a time like this, what attitude do we have toward life? And how do we live it out? Because see, as a church, we don't have any option. We are instructed by our Lord and Savior to go into all the world, teaching, preaching, and baptizing. We don't have an option. It's a mandate, if you will. Jesus has told us that we are to be the light of the world. Yeah, the world's dark. But you and I, as believers, are to be the light of the world. We're to be the salt of the world, preserving the world and flavoring it and enhancing it. But how do we do it when the world's the way it is? We have no choice but to go into the world. We're not to be of it, but we have to be in it. And we're supposed to be influencing it positively. How do we do it? Well, you know, this is not the only times that have been perilous. The Apostle Paul, I think, felt much as we may today, because he certainly lived out his life preaching the gospel, didn't he, after Damascus Road experience anyway. He went through the world preaching. But did you know what he endured to preach? This is his own account found in 2 Corinthians 11. He said this, 5 times I've received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. And that's 39 stripes, if you will. Now, what they claim when you read scholars, they claim that the average person at 39 lashes, they're going to be maimed for life, and many of them will not survive that. And he's done it 5 times. He received 39 lashes, 5 times. 3 times he was beaten with rods. Remember when that guy got beat with rods over in China and we made the big deal about it? But, you know, that's not fun either. That can kill you. 3 times. Once he was stoned, left for dead, but he didn't die. 3 times he was shipwrecked. Spent a night and a day adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, he was in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from his own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers and sisters. In other words, there wasn't any place he could go where he was safe. Kind of like we are today, you know. He was in toil and hardship. He had many a sleepless night. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was often without food, cold, and naked, or at least without proper covering. And he also was under the daily pressure for all the churches that he had started. Sounds like it was kind of a rough life, wasn't it? Maybe rougher than what we have today. And yet, look at what Paul did for the gospel. How did he do it? He lived in perilous times. And he's told us what happened to him, but he hasn't mentioned the times he was in jail and got out. He hasn't mentioned the time somebody cursed at him because he was preaching the gospel. He hasn't mentioned the times that people come up and said, "You don't get out of this town, boy, we're going to kill you." He didn't mention any of that. He hasn't mentioned the time that he's going to go in and Caesar's going to have him arrested and he's going to be beheaded. He hasn't mentioned none of that. What did he endure? And how did he endure it? How did he do this, live this way in such a perilous time? Get your steel toes on. Here's how he did it. He was sold out to God. Paul held nothing back from God. Paul was all in on promoting the gospel and living for Jesus Christ. There was nothing greater in his life than faith in his Lord Jesus Christ. He was truly a new creature in Christ when he met Christ on that Damascus road, and he showed it. He lived it out. Paul truly loved the Lord with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and proved it. He writes this. Here's his attitude in all of this in Romans 8, 36 to 39. It says, as it is written, for your sake we're being killed all day long. We're being accounted as sheep to slaughter in perilous times like we live today. But he says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors. He says that even as this goes on, he is more than a conqueror. I got a question. Let me ask my resident teacher, how can you get to be more than a conqueror? I thought if you conquered it, you had it all. There's always growth, okay. More than a conqueror. He's greater than a conqueror because his God is greater than anything that can happen to him. And he says that, I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved us, being Jesus. Now we use the next verse, or two verses actually, oftentimes at memorial service, but we need to apply them to our life today. In this perilous times, Paul writes, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, no matter what happens to the body, no matter what happens in this world, I'm safe in God if you are a Christian. God's got me. Doesn't matter what happens here, I can account for the fact that God loves me. He's already died to death. He doesn't even think about death anymore because he says, God's got me through it all. Paul knew we would face uncertain times. Those uncertain times may come from the outside world. They may come from decisions that we've made. But most often they come from things that we can't control. There's not a single one of us in here can control if we get a disease. Can't do it. We can try all we can, but you know, we don't ever know. We can't control all the accidents that happen. We can't control if a storm comes, can we? We can't control if the company goes under sometimes and take everything we have. We can't control those. We certainly cannot control madmen and egomaniacs and tyrants that live in this world. Paul faced all that. Yet he had the attitude that he was more than a conqueror. I got a question. Dick, I'm going to ask you. Do you think Paul really felt Jesus loved him when he got them lashes five times? I don't know about y'all, but when they're lashing me, I'm not going to be thinking God loves me. Or when I'm hungry and cold and can't find anything to eat, you know what I'm going to be thinking, and you know what most of us think? Well, I must have done something to displease God because he don't like me because it's not going real well. We got to get over that. We got to get to the fact where we know inside that God loves us, and it doesn't matter what we live in and how we're living. God loves me just like I am. In whatever condition I'm in, and just because it's not going where I think it should, doesn't mean God doesn't love me. And Paul knew that. And when you know that, it changes how you deal with things. And when you know that God loves you, it changes how you can respond to that. We need to get this attitude that Paul had. Philippians 1:21, Paul says this, for to me, living is Christ, dying is gain. Living is Christ, dying is gain. The sting of death has already left Paul because he don't care if you notice what it says there. Dying is gain. He is sold out. He will write in 2 Corinthians, to be absent from this body is to be at home with the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows his home is somewhere else, and this is not it. I have to wonder this, though. How many of us are truly sold out like Paul? Because I'm going to be dead honest. I can tell you I don't think I'm quite that sold out. I can tell you that if I really want to get serious and look in my life, there are some things that, yeah, I'm sold out God as long as it goes this way. But if it goes this way, wait a minute, I don't know that I want to be on board here. You know, as long as things are going good, it's one thing. But Lord, am I really sold out if we had four guys walking here with AK-47s right now and say, you can leave if you renounce Jesus, would I be willing to stand here or not? Are we really sold out? It's extremely hard to be sold out in this world with all the anxiety and the worries we have. The things that we have just in going to a job and making a living for our family and providing for them. The responsibilities we may have within a family. Responsibilities in school, whatever it may be. How do we deal with it the way Paul did? And he obviously thought he dealt with it well, because late in his life he's going to write this. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Wouldn't it be nice if we could all live with that? That was 2 Corinthians, or 2 Timothy, by the way. There we go. Wouldn't it be nice if we all lived that way? How can we do that? Well, guess what, Ms. Sunday School teacher? Facilitator. Oh. Paul gave us the way to live. He did it in Romans 12, 9 to 21. He wrote this. Let love, notice what it says, marks of the true Christian. Let love be genuine. Hate what's evil. Hold fast to what is good. Now, that's just the first verse. But let love be genuine. Wait a minute. What is genuine love? Do we see any genuine love in today's world? Well, what would it look like? Let me think. Turn the other cheek? Go the extra mile? Give him the shirt as well as the coat? Jesus on a cross? Maybe Paul being beheaded? Is that what genuine love is? Well, it's sold out love for sure, isn't it? That's the love we're called to show. Paul wrote about it in another place, and we normally use this for weddings, but it goes much deeper than that. 1 Corinthians, he wrote, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love does not insist in its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. I don't know that I see any of that in the world today. Even within the church, many times, love is patient. I want it, and I want it now. And if I can't get it now, I'll go somewhere else where I can get it now. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Have you been in the store when you didn't get your way in front? Have you seen somebody? I know it didn't happen to any of us, but somebody in front of you when they didn't get their way in the line at the cash register? Did they get belligerent or rude? Love is not irritable or resentful. What else can we say about the way some people act? Except that they're irritable and resentful. It bears all things. We don't bear too much too good, do we? Love never ends. Wow. I can blow this all up in 5 minutes if I'll get you on I-4. Or 98, yeah. Or Monday morning at 8:05 in the school zone. But think about it. He's calling us to live this way in all of those things we just laughed about. Even there, we're supposed to be that way. And he ended that explanation of love by saying this in 1 Corinthians 13:13. Faith, hope, and love abide, these three. The greatest is love. Meaning that's how we're to live our life out, in love. Well, we can certainly see in our society that's kind of hard to do. And we can certainly see that our society certainly doesn't live life that way. So how do we do it? Guess what? Paul showed us the positive remarks of how to live in the rest of that segment in Romans 12. There he wrote this. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. How do we do that? How well are we about doing that? About telling other people how good they're being? About, oh no, you take the spot on. We got one parking place left, Dick. One parking place left. You and Dwight both pull up at the same time. Who's going to give that parking place away? Dwight? That's how you show honor to the other person, isn't it? You go ahead and you take it. How do we do it? It may not be a parking place. Maybe something like seat. It could be just giving them honor. Just you go ahead and you go first. Or you go in the store and there's two dresses and you both wear size 14 and you're going to rip it in half? No, you go ahead, you take it. How do we live that out? Are we doing it very well? Verse 11, do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in the spirit. Serve the Lord. Be happy serving the Lord. That means put a smile on your face. That means do it gladly. That means, oh, dadnubbit, I got to love him. Yeah, you know what I mean, don't you? Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Be joyful. Or as Paul says in another place, it's not Paul, I don't think, but Jesus said it, I think. Don't let the people know that you're on a diet or that you're on a fast. Put oil in your face. Act like everything's great, even though you're going through a troubled time. We don't do that very well, do we? Oh, Dick, you'll like this one. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Give to the church, in other words. And extend hospitality to strangers. Help other people. Well, wait a minute. I got mine. They can get their own, can't they? What do I got to give to them? Tell them to go sign up for SSI or whatever it is. But that's not what God tells us. We're supposed to be generous. We're supposed to contribute. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them and don't curse them. Lord, he just cut me off and I can't just say, may you get what you deserve. At least, Lord, can I say, may the cop find you down the road and give you a ticket? I mean, Don, am I right? That's what we want to say? Even if it is you. Yeah, that's what we want to say, isn't it? But it says, bless them, don't curse. Lord, may he see the error of his ways and may he straighten up his driving. At least that's a blessing. You know, how are we doing? Most of the time we don't want to bless them. We want to curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. When they're over there in that house and they're crying, I certainly don't want to go over there. I'll go over there if they got a party. You know, let me have some extra food. Steak, barbecue, real barbecue. You know? But they're weeping. You want me to go over there and weep with them, Lord? We don't do that very well, do we? Live in harmony with one another. Wait a minute, we got a problem here already. I don't like that music. I don't like the color of that carpet. I don't like them chairs we sit in. They're not comfortable. I'm supposed to live in harmony. But Lord, I don't like that. I didn't ask you what you like. I told you to live in harmony. Not to be haughty. Associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Church, I'm afraid we're failing. I'm afraid I'm failing. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. Wait a minute, Lord. If they done something bad to me, I want something bad to happen back to them. You know what society says? When you do something bad to somebody, we're not going to forget. We're going to get even. And we're, in fact, we're probably going to get even double. Maybe even triple. That's the general attitude. And yet, we're told here, we're not supposed to live that way. In fact, verse 18 says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live peacefully with everyone. I don't like what they do, though. What do I do, Sarah? Well, you got to figure it out just as good as I do. That's the problem. God tells us we're to turn the other cheek. We're to live in love with them. But yet we don't like what's going on. How do we do that? Only through Jesus Christ. Verse 19 says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Do you reckon Paul ever wanted to go back and whip those guys that whipped him five times himself? You know, you would? Yeah, I would too. Or the guy that beat him with the rods, let me give a rod. I won't give you as many as you gave me, but I'm going to hit you a little harder. Get me a little heavier rod, a rod of steel maybe. But yet he says, we can't do that. We're supposed to forgive. In fact, he goes so far in verse 20 as say, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing this, you'll heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So how do we live? By going out and doing the things we're supposed to be. Going out and being a witness for Christ. Going out and living with others. Going out and showing them favor, if you will. Yeah, I don't like them maybe, but I can still show them Jesus Christ. I can still be cordial. I can still be nice. I can still accept them. And even if they do something that's at least a little bit offensive, I can forgive them. How are we doing that? What do we do when we do that time and time again and we still get it thrown back in our face? You know what you do? You have to remember 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful, or arrogant, or rude. You got to remember all that stuff Paul wrote then and reaffirm your resolve to, I'm going to show them Jesus Christ no matter what they do to me. Here's the instruction that John Wesley, our founder, gave to us. He said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Doesn't tell you you can do the opposite at any point. How do we live? By selling out to Jesus and giving him first place in our life. We live with a faith in Christ, knowing that he will never leave nor forsake us. Endeavoring to be the best witness that we can by doing the good works that he has stored up for us to do before the world even began. Take your connection cards. And because of this, what is your next step? Can you memorize 1 Corinthians 13:13? Which is the one that says, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. And as you memorize that, remind yourself that you're to show love no matter the circumstance in your life. Or maybe you need to check the one that says, Lord, help me forgive others. Lord, help me forgive others. Because Well, let's be honest. We remember the hurts, and it's hard to forgive sometimes. Well, maybe we need to check the one that says, Lord, help us to share generously. Help me remember that the things that I have are blessings from you, and that you give me gifts, Lord, so that I can help others within the church as well as without. Or maybe we can check the one that says, Lord, help me to live in peace. Help me not get angry every time somebody offends me. Help me to have this peaceful attitude no matter what's going around, because I know about your love. Or maybe we all need to check the last one. Lord, may our love be sincere. As Paul wrote, may we have that pure love that he wrote about in 1 Corinthians 13. I invite you to check those. As the ushers come forward, please. Lord, we come for your grace today, your throne. And Lord, as I have read the scriptures that you have given us this morning, as we've talked about these things, Lord, we realize it's hard to do. But you've called us to live in such a way, and Lord, I just pray that even today, as we pray a blessing upon our schools, I pray a blessing upon our church, that you would help us to go forth and show others the love of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ. Father, help us to be like Philip was in John chapter 12, when the Greeks came and they came to Philip and they said, Philip, Philip, we would see Jesus. Help people come to us to say, whoever we may be, you're different. I want to know about that, and I want to see how you do it. And we can show them Jesus. We can bring them to our church. We can point them to living in love and loving others as yourself. And we can show them Jesus Christ in the flesh. As we come now, Lord, we give back to your church a portion of what you've given to us. Bless the use of these funds. Bless those who give them. We ask in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
As Bob comes and leads us in our final hymn, I remind you the altar's open. Please come if you have need.
Final hymn this morning is number 536 in your hymnal. And on the screen, Precious Name, Oh How Sweet. Please stand as you are able. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go, precious name.